Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
On the home stretch of a Monday, as many of you are headed off to happy hour, thanks for making us part of that journey. Paul Ihander here, Lindsey Brown there.
Have two for us, friends.
Truth.
Two drinkies.
Yeah.
Make it a double.
If it's in a pint or a nice clean glass, clear glass.
Fishbowl, perhaps.
Hopefully a fishbowl.
Hey, one in Rome.
With a sparkler in it.
Why not? Why not, Paul? Why not have a good time on this Monday?
Boat drinks and tiki drinks and tall heads on beers.
I could really use a pontoon soda right now.
A pontoon soda?
Yeah. I mean, especially with the football being played, you know, casually at 2:30 in the afternoon. I know it's 3 today, but it started earlier.
Yeah, it's a little weird on a Monday to have football this early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It is disrupting. I mean, I don't know. It is on Fox, so it's most likely like a court show.
It's like a Mahomian Monday.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm good at alliteration. That's why you pay me the big bucks, Paul.
A Mahomian Monday.
Correct.
Sure.
Well, it's not going so far
right.
Too well for him.
We do have football for you here tonight. The Arizona Cardinals take on the Dallas Cowboys in the post-Dak Prescott era of the Cowboys.
That was a week ago, wasn't it?
It feels so long ago where everybody was tweeting their, get well soon, Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Get well soon.
Surgery went well, though.
Surgery went well.
At least that's what we've heard.
Yeah. We do have news on Dak later on in the program during our Football at 4 segment.
Excellent.
You'll just have to wait for that news.
Oh, patience.
But at 4:45, we'll have pregame starting for you, Arizona and Dallas. Monday Night Football here on 11:40. All right, let's get you your five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
As Lindsey mentioned, the assimilation to watching football during the day can be a little bit tough, especially for those who just weren't expecting it and going, oh, really?
It's not Sunday today.
Right.
It is Monday.
Right. But at least they're playing them both on Monday. Last week, remember we had a Monday and a Tuesday game?
Yes. And you were still saying, where was my Thursday night football? I am missing something without it.
I was just missing the actual day of the week. I mean, like, I had no clue what it was. It was
right.
Just strange.
We're running out of days that they don't play on. How are you going to be able to tell what day of the week it is?
Well, today's Monday. Because there's a Monday night doubleheader, which actually means the afternoon. It's a Monday afternoon doubleheader. So right now it's the Bills and the Chiefs going at it in a really just kind of nasty looking weather there in Buffalo.
Can't stop Stephon, though.
No, you cannot.
The Vikings didn't need him.
He's doing pretty well right now. 10-7 is the score. Buffalo on top of the Chiefs. But Kansas City, they are moving forward. No one has to worry about wearing the face mask because it's so damn cold in Buffalo right now. Everybody has one on.
Yeah.
Just to stay warm.
Well, you know, when it does get a little bit cooler out, you want to huddle together for warmth. So wearing the mask is especially important these days.
So that game is an hour underway, if you can believe that. Battle of 4-1 teams. And on the flip side tonight, it is the Cardinals and the Cowboys getting underway at what is being called the regular Monday Night Football game.
Regular Monday Night.
That kicks off at 5:15 our time. So it's like a Monday late afternoon football.
Sure.
But again, pregame coming up at 4:45. Everyone is clear of the COVID. And yes, it does begin the post Dak Prescott era in Dallas tonight.
Right on.
Yeah.
Best of luck to Andy Dalton.
Yeah, good luck, Andy Dalton. Good luck.
Number two.
All right, so the Vegas Golden Knights, amazingly enough, still had some money.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how
somebody had a couch or something.
Somebody went to offer up.
Even better.
We got a bunch of game used pucks.
Give me the shirt off my back.
What parking lot should we meet in so we can exchange these?
As long as you're under the streetlights, Paul, do not meet in the dark corners. That's just a safety thing.
I've never understood why you have to do deals at like 9:30 at night for something that you grabbed on OfferUp.
You don't. You shouldn't. Like, you should do it in the daytime if you can help it, but stay in the light at all times.
Yeah, it's a baby stroller. Are you sure we need to meet at 9:45?
Right? Whose baby was in this last? I don't know. Do not ask these questions. Maybe just buy a different stroller.
You mean I need to drive out to Boulder City? Where? You say the streetlights aren't working? The Vegas Golden Knights. Let's get back on track here. Never. Vegas Golden Knights have opened up the checkbook again, and they've signed somebody.
Mm-hmm. Keegan Kolesar has been re-signed. He spent most of his season last year on their AHL affiliate, the Chicago Wolves. Now the Silver Knights of Henderson. They'll be playing at Orleans Arena this coming season, whenever that decides to get started. But he's clearly a depth guy on the Chicago team. He's young. He's 23 years old. It's a two-way contract valued at $725,000. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of youth and depth present on the Vegas Golden Knights roster. So you need to make sure that the team below you, which did make a run to the Calder Cup Finals last year, and he was a big part of that run as well. He had, let's see how many points he had. He had 11 points in 21 games in the run of that Calder Cup final. And you got to make sure you can hold down the fort and that you're not taking and hemorrhaging all the talent from, you know, your already burgeoning feeder system. And so Keegan has been around, was at training camp to get everything started before they went into the bubble. So not shocked that he's going to be with the organization at least for the next couple seasons. Good things from him.
Now, they gave up a second round pick to keep him, so they think something must be there. At the age of 23, Lindsay, and we talk about the Henderson Silver Knights and this being an AHL feeder team, obviously, into the NHL. At 23, is it time to kind of put up or shut up?
I don't know. Did you give up on yourself at 23 years of age? I did for parts of my 23rd year, but it just kind of depended on how many goals I was giving up.
In terms of hockey age at the minor league level?
Well, I think maybe yes and no, because the league has never been younger, but he's a big guy. He's not exactly a skill position type of winger, but he's going to be able to push his weight around and definitely be able to clean up in front of the net. And you could really never run out of guys like that. It's just whether or not he's able to take his development to the next step and give the coaching staff in the front office a reason to play him or consider him as a bigger part of the lineup. We're seeing if the next couple of years he's able to do that. So it's just kind of like, yeah, keep playing. We need you. You're an important part, but it's not over at 23, Paul. It's okay.
At that price point, he will be definitely a two-way player because that's the kind of money that the Knights really have in terms of cap space.
Correct.
When they need to move bodies up and down the I-15. So Kolesar staying with VGK.
Number three.
All right, it is a UNLV football game week. They take on the San Diego State Aztecs on the road to open the Mountain West campaign. It feels like it's been forever since we've been able to say this.
Because it has been forever.
It has been, yeah, certainly. But the Mountain West Conference finally getting underway. The head coach, brand new head coach, who's yet to coach a game with UNLV. And it's weird. Marcus Arroyo spoke with the media today, asked him a question about the offense. And he was kind of like, yeah, it was really hard because to install a new offense. You know, he talked about you know, Zoom calls and things like that. And then really having about 3 weeks of actual practice to get up to speed. He says he's going to take pretty much every day. They're off today, but pretty much the rest of the week to try to keep installing that offense and then eventually name a starting quarterback, which he did not do today.
I'm trying to time travel to earlier in 2020 and better times, and also when they hired Coach Arroyo. How long did they wait, like, after everything kind of concluded in the 2019-2020 season? Do you remember when they hired him?
It didn't take very long. I want to say just a couple.
So.
It was just a
few days, right?
It was a couple of weeks.
So, yeah, this guy has to be the longest tenured head coach without actually, you know, coaching an official down and ever.
Yeah,
it feels always.
It feels, well, there's a bunch of new coaches, but he might be the guy. With the exception of Jimmy Lake at the University of Washington, because the Pac-12 doesn't
That's
start
true.
For two more weeks. Chris Peterson stepping down, Lake stepping in there, so he might be like the first guy in that line.
Well, best of luck to him and his big time decision. Probably getting a little bit too close. Usually, if you haven't had a quarterback picked by now, if you have two of them, it's usually not a good thing. But I have faith. I have full faith in Coach Arroyo and the new run-in Rebels.
Well, they have plenty of uniform combinations. Didn't talk about
that.
He did not name any team captains today, but we did get word of the game time for the first ever UNLV game at Allegiant Stadium on Halloween night, October the 31st. It will be at 7:30. It'll be the Wolfpack and the Rebels, 7:30 at night on Halloween night at Allegiant Stadium.
And to use the time-traveling machine again, if you have forgotten, the final moments of the last game that they played did not end in sunshine and rainbows, Paul.
It did not.
And it was fan and player involved. So let's keep ourselves to ourselves and have a good time on Halloween.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, 7:30 at night on Halloween night. Yeah, okay.
Yes!
Yeah, that's on FS1, by the way.
Nice.
Number four.
All right, so the Las Vegas Raiders, who had the bye week, still managed to make some news as the Raiders placed cornerback Damon Arnette, the man with the club, on the reserve COVID list. He's already been he was already on injured reserve because he had some work done on the thumb. But
surgery,
now,
right?
Yep. But now he is on the COVID list.
That's not good news.
I don't know who he was throwing around with. If he was hanging out with Maurice Hurst, who was on the reserve COVID list, I would suppose that would be okay. But, I mean, I don't know what you do during your bye week. Remember, everybody in the bye week had to stay home.
No vacay.
Right.
But at least not to the islands.
But he was in a hospital. So, I mean, it's reasonable.
He's been staying in the hospital the whole time?
He had to have surgery at some point. So, I mean,
he
could have had.
Oh, come on. They're not just like, stay in here for a week, Paul. We know how hospitals work. And that was even before the COVID.
No, I'm just saying he could have gotten this anywhere.
Well, regardless, you're going to be going in for treatment. So having anybody test positive in your organization, especially when they're around the building, not good news.
Yeah, you don't want to stack up. You don't want to stack up the positives.
It's a week off.
And it's the NFL, and they've been known to find teams now. And they're going to find the Titans, by the way.
Oh, I bet it's going to be a big old gavel that they're going to.
That crazy noise. And the Titans are like, whatever, we're winning.
Yeah, it's fine. We don't need any practice time. Vrabel's just going to, you know, outthink you in every single point in time.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that, too.
Foreshadowing you and I.
Yes, truth. So the Las Vegas Raiders, the reserve COVID-19 list grows by one. Rookie cornerback Damon Arnette. Either has come into contact with someone with a COVID or tested positive, but he's already been on IR, so, you know.
Not good.
Stuff and things and stuff.
True.
Number five.
All right, so last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers advanced to the World Series.
He had little faith, Paulito.
2020. I made my money on Saturday night. And let's all be honest. If we would have come out and talked about this on Friday and said the Los Angeles Dodgers will be playing World Series games here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 starting tomorrow night, we would have been just run out of this building like on fire.
Well, I almost said that. I said they're going to win game five. And at that point, they were down, 3-1. And you just got to win one game, and then you got to worry about the next game winning that one, and then you got to worry about the next game and winning that one. And that's what they did in game seven last night, one of the best baseball games I've seen all year. Granted, haven't watched a ton personally, but huge, huge comeback in the series, and you doubted them. Your team.
Yeah, I struggled.
You did?
I struggled with them. Down 3-1. Absolutely. Yeah. I did not think we'd be talking about them in this sense right now, but we are. And
I have enduring belief always in the teams.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have named their starter for game one of the series. It'll be Clayton Kershaw.
Well, that's good.
Who will have a full 4 days rest.
Even better.
That will be good. And hopefully they literally just lay him prone. So he doesn't have any back spasms. He doesn't pick anything up heavier than maybe like a can of pop.
Yep. And let's make sure that their own number 35, who brought another yet great performance and unbelievable game-winning home run last night, Cody Bellinger. Make sure he doesn't sleep on one side, right? And keep one shoulder up because we got to high-five people with our elbows super hard, Paul. And sometimes puts a little stress and trauma on the shoulder. Not a time to be, fooling around with that stuff.
Have to do the air fives.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought that was part of the rules.
Well, when you're in the bubble. When you're in the bubble, apparently it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
So it'll be Clayton Kershaw getting the nod in game one. They have not announced a game two starter. The Tampa Rays, will be their opponents.
Tampa Bay Rays.
It'll be Tyler Glasnow in the game one. And then Blake Snell, who did not want to play if he took a pay cut in the COVID era, will go game two.
Huh. Well, bring it on.
Yeah.
So, I have even more faith because we're playing the Rays.
Yes, the Rays. It used to be the Devil Rays, but they took out the devil part.
It's too offensive.
I don't know. They used the word Bay, so it's like Tampa Bay.
Well, that was before Bay started spelling with an E, and we took that over. Frindle was kind of a cautionary tale for all of us in the elementary school back in the day, but now it's everywhere.
Tampa Bay doesn't need any more stuff.
No, honestly.
They don't.
Especially after yesterday's football win, too. Like, the cockiness level has to be going way too
high.
They don't need a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, look, it's here.
They don't need a World Series. But you know what? If it's going to be the two best teams, the Miles will be these two teams because these are the two teams that dominated throughout the entire season in their respective leagues.
I'm so excited to get a tattoo.
I hope so.
I'm excited for you to get a tattoo.
Sure, you're going to get one when Tampa Bay wins?
No, but I'll get a different one when we go.
It'll probably be a 35.
It will be a 35. It just won't be in a numerical value.
It would be creatively imagined. A giant photo of Kike Hernandez on your upper thigh.
Yep. You knew it. Which one? Left or right? You tell me.
I don't know.
Well, Kike, flip a coin.
Kike, he bats both ways.
He does.
So,
he does indeed.
I guess it'd really be your pick.
I suppose.
I will not be getting said Kike.
No.
No.
At least on your right thigh. Left, though, you'll consider.
There will be no Kike Hernandez-ing on my body.
We do have to cover up that tramp stamp in the back, though. Mistakes were made.
I got to stop bending over in front of you. All right, there's your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. Coming up next, who had the absolute worst weekend in sports?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Monday Night Football on the way, 4:45 pregame, 5:15 kickoff between the Arizona Cardinals and Dallas Cowboys. Listen for every down, every score, and every Dak Prescott-less play.
It's too soon, Paul.
CBS Sports Radio 1140. The early game today, as strange as that sounds to say, it is 13-10 in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. They're getting ready to roll in halftime, unless Pat Mahomes pulls off something amazing.
Well, it does tend to happen.
He could be. You know who I believe had the worst weekend ever? And besides my backyard. My backyard got torn up by
What happened?
Torn up by my kids.
Oh.
Like, they sprayed water. They pulled up, like, solar stakes. I mean, nothing looks good.
Those kids, when they exist, man, they just tear everything apart.
I love my kids, but man,
Your kids are great.
It literally looks like demolition derby in the backyard. You know who had the worst weekend in sports?
Who?
The entire state of Georgia.
Did they, though?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, the Falcons won. They now have a win on their record.
They do.
So that's like a saving grace, kind of. Because I know where you're going with this, and this goes directly back to our Game 7 conversation we were just having a few minutes ago, where your Dodgies, you know, reigned victorious yet again.
They did. They got that win. But also, Georgia, the Bulldogs, were up at halftime against Alabama, 24-20.
Oh, did they lose?
The number three team in the nation, and then Alabama decided to go, oh, wait a second. We brought nuclear weapons to this knife fight, decided that they were just going to go on a couple of big runs where Jalen Waddle went for 90 yards.
What's his last name?
Waddle.
Waddle?
Yeah, he ran.
Brilliant.
He caught a pass. A guy, one of the fastest players on the Crimson Tide team, caught a 90-yard pass.
So Saban brought his lunch from home, essentially.
Well, apparently he was able to because, you know, he got clear of the COVID.
Couldn't take one weekend off.
Earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Which has resulted in the skewering of the Bulldogs online. 41-24 was that final, where Alabama just, again...
Remembered who they were.
Essentially remembered who they were. I mean, they kicked and it actually started right before halftime, where Alabama hit a 52-yard field goal.
They have a tendency to come out of that locker room with a whole new lease on life and victory, don't they?
Well, they did it in 23 seconds. That was the thing. So they came down and scored right away, right after Georgia scored, and then that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia just fell off the planet at that point.
Maybe reminiscent of Tua's, you know, stepping in time and during the national championship after the halftime as well.
Certainly. But it didn't quite work out that way.
Well, okay. So, yes, there is definitely a slash in the L column for the Atlanta area based off of that result.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, based on Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Braves, and the Braves losing
a 3-1 lead.
After leading 3-1 and then giving up. And it's weird because, you know, for as much as the Dodgers mashed the ball throughout the series.
It didn't ever feel like it was in their grasp, did it?
No, and they've been about like singles and timely hits and doubles and hustle plays and things like that. Now, Mookie Betts probably will never be let into Georgia State lines.
No.
But
no.
The good thing is that he has a future career as possibly like animal control.
Yeah.
Because he was catching everything.
Everything. Again, I don't know how it's possible, but I feel like he is doing better than advertised, like, even with the deal that he signed right before the season started, Mookie Betts. And, you know, isn't this the time of the year, though, Paul? You're not going to see, you know, a ton of huge runs like we did in Game 6. That's kind of an anomaly in the first inning. You're going to see the bloopers. You're going to see more of pitching duels. And maybe that's why you were so apprehensive to say, yeah, the Dodgers could come back in this series, because they just didn't have anything going through those first few games, like, at all for them to build on top of. But you just got to find it. You got to dink and dunk your way to victory, and that's what they did last night.
My kid's Little League team manages its pitching staff better than Dave Roberts did in a couple of those games.
Wow.
And I'm just like, and we have adults throwing, like, lobbing pitches to six-year-olds.
Do you guys do warm-ups as extensive as they do as well?
Kind of, but
depends
not
on the team. It depends on the parent,
it's
right?
It's more about fielding, and did everybody get to the baseball park on time?
That's true.
But, I was not a true believer at the end, and I'm a fan. I'm a lifelong fan, but I looked at it, I was like, come on, no.
Well, this is their third World Series in a row, right?
No, they've missed out. Last year, when Kershaw gave up some Howie Kendrick slam.
But in terms of the previous few that you guys have been to, was this one the most unexpected? I mean, did you feel like you were going to the World Series, like you guys were meant to win or going to win?
Yes,
and this one, you don't feel like that at all?
In 17, that was the Astros World Series. That was the one we were meant to win. That was destiny there.
It wasn't.
And then we got cheated out of that one. I mean, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. This one feels like the team was built for it. And then, you know, David Price opted out, which didn't help.
Sure.
You know, so you lose a starting pitcher right away. And, I mean, you saw the amount of starting pitchers, you know, that were going into the game. And to be honest, when Roberts announced Dustin May as the starter in Game 7, I slapped my forehead really hard.
All right.
I was like, are you kidding me?
But you know what? What other game did he start in a pinch? The first game of the entire season when it was supposed to be Kershaw ready to go, right?
Sure.
And sometimes it does pay to be younger and not really know the amount of pressure that you're playing under or the amount of expectations that are on your team that you're an extension of.
But he did, though. And I think the moment was too big for him last night.
Well, it's tough when it's a game. It's one thing it's a playoff. It's another thing when it's a game seven.
And he didn't give him a chance to, I mean, he announced it
How many innings did he pitch last night? Because I didn't into the game until probably the third.
So if I lost four fingers in an industrial accident, how many fingers would I have left on one hand?
Oh, really?
That's how many innings he pitched. He was done. Well, he threw eight straight balls to open up the game.
Well, kudos to Roberts for having the confidence to say, you know what? He doesn't have it tonight. I'm going to go to my... Because that's a really tough decision to make. And one, considering how many days they've played consecutively in a row and how many pitchers that have been used so far, like, you have to be very settled in your calls. And that's the thing about Roberts. You know, a lot of people like to knock him. And like you said it earlier to start off this segment, like, the pitching management isn't always there. But at least he knows when a guy doesn't have it and when he doesn't. Or at least it worked out in that way last night.
Yeah, that's the issue he's having with Kenley Jansen right now. And Jansen's saying all the right things because he's saying, well, you know, hey, nobody's the closer. We're just all trying to win, be in the right situations and whatnot.
Paul, it's a team effort.
But Julio Urias went back out for the ninth last night, and I stood up and applauded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there should be, I mean, if we were being watched by Big Brother that much they would have seen that in my house last night. I was like, oh, thank God.
Right.
I was like, I can't go through another liter of Pepto-Bismol watching Kenley Jansen try to close a game.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, please.
So do you think he'll have it now that they've gotten through? Because sometimes it's just about the reset and getting to the next series. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's something about a team or just that week. Like, do you think that this Dodgers team has the ability to kind of reset and take the good things from winning a Game 7 and coming back from a 3-1 deficit, but making sure that all the mistakes that caused them to get to a Game 7 don't hinder them in the biggest series of the entire year?
You know, what causes them to get to a Game 7 like that is, you know, taking yourself out of rhythm, and that's how the team ended up. When they had to scratch Kershaw and with the back spasms, and they've had to do that. I mean, in the regular season, whatever. In the postseason, it's a finite amount of games.
Correct.
That's it. You don't get to come back in a game set. He doesn't get to pitch in a game seven.
Well, like, everybody's heightened, you know, everybody's like, you know, zoned in on their role for that day or the game, you know, the next morning for the next day. And then all of a sudden something changes, like, not just for the player that has to replace them, does that put a layer of pressure, but the entire team, there's just, and we know how baseball players are, very, 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 very superstitious, like my hockey people are, but enough where you could be like, well, maybe this is a sign of something not good. And all it just still takes is that little earworm, Paul, starts eating away at your confidence. You never know.
No, certainly. And, you know, I don't blame Kershaw for the loss the other night. I know a lot of people do, but I lay it straight.
Heavy wears the crown.
I lay it on Robert.
Really?
Because Kershaw was struggling, and he went five innings. That's what you need. Your starter, give him five. It was still 1-1 at that point. He trotted out there for six, and you know, maybe Kersh said, hey, you know what? I'm good for another inning. And
building
Roberts,
off the performance previously, right, which Roberts, he pitched so
exactly,
well.
Exactly, and Roberts believed him and sent him back out there, or Roberts didn't go with his gut and goes, you know what? It was kind of uneven. We got what we needed out of you. Let's just bring in the bullpen and see how it goes. And they put his bullpen in a bad situation. They were already playing from behind, and that's not how bullpen guys work. At least a lot of them don't work that way.
One inning too long, but that decision or mistake is made a lot. That's pretty much the MO of how runs are scored in the baseball.
Some relievers don't thrive on the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. That's just the honest truth. Yeah. You've seen enough closers have stellar years and all-star years, come back the next year and just fall apart.
Right.
Completely.
Because it's all about those first few. And if you have a bad memory or a bad outcome, that can just set the tone going forward. And that's why, you know, the reset of the new series, although it is the World Series, it might just be what the doctor ordered for the Dodgers to get back to winning games the way that they do the best, which is just hitting dingers.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, just hit some dingers.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Seager.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Paul and Lindsay here, Playmakers, on CBS Sports Radio 1140, just talking about who had the worst week ever. Here's a fan base that may have had the best weekend ever, but the worst weekend ever at the same time, and it's because of the pandemic.
Okay. Said to everyone.
Said to pretty much everyone, but yeah, specifically for the Lakers. Lakers fans did not get to celebrate with their team this weekend because they were all throwing down over here at Encore Beach Club over the weekend.
Were they really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, were there videos and pictures? I'm sure there's none.
There are videos and pictures of legitimately like 20 people hanging out.
It looked like old Vegas in there, huh?
It looks like, and there's, you know, there's a celebration, there's banners up and things like that, but it legitimately looks like, I mean, and maybe this is just the way VIP parties need to be or how they are, but it wasn't like they were monster clubbing or whatnot. It was outdoors. It was kind of late at night. They were having a good time.
Yeah.
But it didn't have that feeling of like, hey, I've got this inside scoop. The Lakers are in town partying. It was like, oh, hey, bunch of guys getting
Hi
together,
guys.
Celebrating a championship.
Thank you for your business. Like,
yeah.
Legit.
Yeah, it was like celebrating a championship. I mean, they could have gone to like a steakhouse and had a steak and called it good, but it missed that kind of, yeah, the Lakers are in town and they're bringing the...
Yeah, and it's weird how, I mean, it's not like we couldn't have foretold the fact that the championship celebrations aren't really a thing. I mean, we saw a little bit how Tampa got a little crazy with the Stanley Cup. LA was a little crowded after they won their game.
Sure.
But we've never had the media move on so quickly because usually there's a few days of aftertaste and afterburn of like, let's look at all the confetti falling. Let's talk about all these. Is this guy going to come back next year? Is this, you know, where does this coach go? And there really hasn't been. And I just think because of all the sports being pushed together, everybody's just so discombobulated. It's not just about the physical presence of people in the celebrations that's missing. It's just the buzz and the afterglow that it has because there's just too much going on right now, or too little, or at least the wrong stuff that everybody's paying attention to.
Right, you know, we've swept a bunch of championships to the side. I mean, very quickly, they all just kind of got shoved away. It's
well,
like,
let's talk
right
about it. Like you said, COVID. The election definitely plays into it.
Sure.
And if people aren't feeling like adverse to all technology at this point, why would they go towards the sports with all that going on? And then it's just you have the World Series and the NBA swallowed up the Stanley Cup celebration because it's the basketball.
Yeah.
And then football, it's the little fish is eaten by the bigger fish, and then the medium fish is eaten by the bigger fish, and then all of a sudden it's still the NFL and they're eating, you know, because they're the only ones.
Right. I know where you're going with this.
It's just weird.
We're missing out on that's the one part of fandom.
Yeah.
You know,
basking.
Basking in the glow.
Yeah.
Having that
doesn't
glow.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it's for most franchises, often.
It's true. World championships are so hard to come by as it is.
Yeah, the Lakers had to wait 10 whole years, Paul.
Still, think true. About 10 years. 10 years for a fan base, you know, that haven't seen it. Dodgers fans haven't seen a world championship since 88. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Listen, we've been suffering a long time. That's why people are like, oh, hey, there
I've
it is.
I've literally never seen anybody victorious in my sports fandom. No, no one. Never.
Again, when you talk about celebrations, and again, you know, we're not the hometown for the Lakers. It seems like a second home for them here, to be honest. Kind of the
they come over and hang out in our basement, obviously.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
They do. But it's still, you still get to soak up a little bit of that here.
Sure.
But, you know, championships change cities. They do, and we just haven't had the opportunity. Even when the, you know, when the Aces were the WNBA championship, it still would have been something if they had won it.
True.
And when they took it to Seattle, Seattle did some proclamations, and that was kind of it. That was the game.
I wonder what it's, how it is locally, like by their local media. And granted, that's changed a lot in general as well. But I almost wonder if they've quickly moved on from that stuff. If there's like a little bit of an afterglow there, just because there's usually a few like things that SportsCenter plays, like reflecting on the championships that were won, and there's none of that.
You know, and ESPN did. It's kind of funny that you mentioned championships because we're in the World Series. They ranked the 115 World Series.
And I'm all like, of them?
Well, I'm just trying to find out what 126-year-old person that they managed to get a hold of who was there at the first World Series and was able to rank that appropriately.
Correct. Oh, man. How high up was 1991 there?
I don't know.
It has to be top 10.
There were 100 of
them. It's a game set. It has to be top 10.
There were 115 of them.
Well.
You know who also had probably the worst weekend ever?
Who?
Hawaii football fans.
Why?
Hawaii, not that the fact that
is
they're
Maui
in Hawaii.
Maui Open got moved to North Carolina?
No, just football fans, not basketball fans.
Oh, okay. I
mean,
never mind.
College basketball in Maui is, I mean, you go because you're a member of the team or a family or related to the team. That's the only
reason.
So
sports for 99.999999% of us, correct?
Correct. But the fan base in Hawaii, I mean, they play in Lahaina. I mean, there's no...
Never been to Hawaii. Haven't had the pleasure. You've been to a lot of places
Maui,
that I've not
Maui's
gone
the best.
Yet.
Maui's the best. Kauai is nice, but Maui is the best.
Sure, you have a person that you could hook me up with, you know, some Airbnb type of stuff, right?
Airbnb?
Yeah.
Couch crash?
I'm sure they have that in Hawaii, right? The Airbnb is
sure.
Definitely allowed there.
Yeah, that's
no,
probably a
not.
Thing. No, Hawaii football fans were told, one, I mean, think about it. It's Hawaii. So
yeah.
We've talked about the pandemic and, you know, doctors and whatever it is, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else is it? You go to the beach, right? You go to the beach.
It's
you're,
not the
you're
worst
outside.
Plan B.
Right. You're outside.
Yeah.
So you've got that option. No fans at Hawaii football. Okay.
Okay.
So we get that here. You know, there's no fans at a lot of sporting events, whatever. So that's not the worst thing.
Sure.
To watch said Hawaii football team, pay-per-view.
No.
You actually
what
have
are
to,
they doing?
You have to pay.
No. Why are people so... Not the people, not the fan base, but like the people who run things. That is who I'm referring to. Why are they so dumb,
you
Paul?
You have to pay.
That is... I don't understand that. I don't get that. I know some people, well, they got to make money. They're losing out on so much money. Yes, we all are. We are all missing doll hairs. Every single person is. And know who I feel the least bad for? Schools and corporations and other people that are hemorrhaging money. Because guess what? It will come back. But this is about accessibility, Paul. This is about growing your program and having a relationship with the community that you are intertwined with. And you're going to be a gatekeeper. Say, you know what? We're going to take more of your money, even though this is the one thing, like you said, because basketball really isn't a thing that kind of brings everyone together besides the beach. I'm super disappointed. That's ridiculous.
That's
unacceptable.
But you can buy them. You don't have to buy the whole season. You can just buy them one game at a time.
Yeah, I want to buy zero of their things. That's ridiculous. And I would be writing letters and making calls.
They have 8 games. Only 2 are actually on television for them to actually watch for free.
Right.
8 games. So 6 are pay-per-view. If you want to watch football in Hawaii, watch Hawaii football. You have to pay for
it. God, that's so disheartening to hear.
That's amazing. Yeah, now on
what year is it? Are we going to black out the games if people don't buy all the tickets? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, that's if you need a Jones for Hawaii football. But
I mean, we all do. I would like to watch it in person as well, but I would settle for just standing outside the stadium and going, go team. I'll do that.
Right.
Not paying for pay-per-view, though.
Right. Will you be shouting it out, though?
Yes, I will.
Go team.
Somebody wants to fly me there. I will absolutely do that for you.
Go Warriors.
Absolutely.
All right, coming up next, is it time for the rookies to shine?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Lyhander here. The next voice you will hear is Lindsey Browns.
That's me.
Thanks for hanging out on this Monday. Is it time for the rookies to start playing some football? There are some suggestions right now, and I agree with the one certainly in Philadelphia.
Oh, and you've warmed up, have you?
What, seeing that Jalen Hurts gets to play a little bit more than Carson Wentz? And to be honest, it's just because maybe Wentz just needs finally that change of scenery, because we talked about that earlier with the Dodgers making it to the World Series and getting reset. Perhaps Wentz's time is done in Philadelphia and someone needs to help him reset as well.
Well, change of scenery could be like an entirely new organization, but it also could be, you know, just a different vantage point on the same field that you've always been, which is on the bench. And, you know, Carson has missed time because of injury, but that's the only reason why he's missed. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying he could be better, as many aspects of that team could be, but it all starts with him. And so I've always just been kind of like, well, let's see what Jalen's got. Like, let's see what's up. And I think that Doug Peterson is finally starting to warm up to the idea. At least that's what we kind of saw yesterday, right?
Well, he's warming up because he's in the hot seat right now.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, because they're not winning anything.
I mean, the huddling together for warmth thing I mentioned earlier, Paul, still plays.
They have him running gadget. Here's the problem. If you're going to get him on the field, don't put him in gadget play situations.
Yeah, no it, wildcat. We don't want this.
It sort of works in New Orleans. I saw them work a Taysom Hill play the other day, and you know I don't like Hill.
It works twice out of 50, and everybody's
stuff.
Like, he's the next starting quarterback.
Again, so if you're going to just let him play, let him play. Let him sling it around and see how it goes. If you're not, then let Wentz play out this contract, because you're going to have fewer and fewer takers as long as he struggles, especially in this offense. And the last thing you need right now in Philadelphia is ejecting your head coach and having to start fresh with Wentz. They've got to turn that around quick.
Yeah. If you're going to eject the coach, I feel like you eject the quarterback as well, and that's usually why those go hand in hand in terms of one's play taking a nosedive and the coach answering for it or vice versa. And I don't know. I don't feel like things are done for Carson in Philadelphia, but every week I keep waiting for him to snap out of it, and maybe he just doesn't. He has no help. No help whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. Sanders is dropping balls in the end zone.
And maybe he's old enough now where the league and the coaches in the league have him figured out, where if he doesn't have the weapons, they have the book on him, that he's just straight up, you don't take the league by the same storm you used to, right? Hello?
They let Nelson Agholor come here.
Yeah, who's caught 2 touchdown passes at least.
Aguilar's here. Zach Ertz is hurt.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be out a month.
He's the only security blanket he has left.
And he practically doesn't even want to be there.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. And they're looking for answers. I mean, at least they made it a game yesterday. But still, it's the result is the same. It's an L. That's not a good place to be.
No, they got a W in Miami. And Tua got on the field for the last 2.5 minutes of that game. Threw a couple of passes, handed the ball off a few times. But Tua time in Miami. And remember, Miami's got back-to-back wins over San Francisco, a depleted 49ers team. And now the Jets, which was no surprise. The Jets have not covered anything.
Well, you didn't put all of your wealth on the competitive genius that is Adam Gase.
This was my makeup.
Football clipboard.
This was my betting makeup game over the weekend.
Oh, really?
This was the cleanup weekend after taking some. By the way, stupid Patriots.
I mean, finally, somebody said it.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's
we'll dive into that more later on, Paul, but did you see him after the game? I mean, everybody saw the pictures, the 3 pictures of the same shot from the same angle,
right,
of him basically kind of taking in the moment, which apparently he was FaceTiming with his parents. Same field that he almost lost everything on.
Right. Full circle.
And that, just seeing that picture, and as someone who is, you know, that sentimental in moments, like when I was still playing, and like kind of realizing the magnitude of where you were in the moment, like, hit me right in the athlete feels right there.
Sure. Well, you can look back, and because you played at that level, you can look back at, I would say, like, think about it. When you're playing hockey as a kid, same way Tua was playing football as a kid too. You've got the number, you've got the jersey that, you know, says, you know, Bob's Plumbing on the front of it with the number on the back.
Everything says I'm a professional football player except for the actuality
that you are. And you take the big steps, and all of a sudden, you know, for you, you know, you see your name on a collegiate uniform, you know, on a collegiate roster, you're like, damn. You know, he gets to this point after suffering that horrific injury, getting drafted, and then, you know, he gets to see his, you know, name on a uniform.
Yeah.
Playing, you know, with a highlight on the field in the play. I mean, yeah, I'd call my mom and dad too.
100%. I mean, I remember when I got word that I was starting my first game in college, and it was kind of in a last minute thing because our starting goalie got sick. I remember that entire pregame thing. Like, I remember everything I listened to, everything that I thought about. I was like crying because it had been a couple of years between an injury and then transferring from Ohio State. So it's like when you have those moments where they're here, but for some reason you didn't know if they were going to ever come back. Like that for me is what speaks to me about the moment. It's not the fact that he made his first NFL start, that it's that he's on that field as a player and in that moment to begin with, because it could have gone the other way. He could have not had a future. That injury could have been that bad.
Sure. What it tells you in Miami is they believe he can play. And that's good news for Tua, and might take some of the pressure off Fitzpatrick as well, knowing that Fitzpatrick knows he's the placeholder.
Yeah,
that it's Tua's team.
You were winning. You put the guy out there to get some snaps, and he's earned it. At 6 weeks into the season, nobody's losing their job. This is if they wouldn't have picked him if they didn't think he could play.
Certainly.
So this is just all part of the process, and I'm glad that it was just kind of a full circle moment for him, and that he was able to share it with his parents in the best way that he could in this context. Yeah. So good for Tua.
And as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't keep doing the choke thing, we might see, probably won't see Jordan Love for another year.
Right. So. Well, keep throwing those interceptions. At least the pick six, that 35 returned,
yeah,
that started all things off yesterday for the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers.
You know,
there are only so many numbers. You know that, right?
Well, I'm just saying there seems to be a certain number that's making a lot of plays at greatness more than the others. And I just happen to notice that it's the one that I wore. So I'm not saying it's a thing, but it's kind of a thing.
Coming up, Doc Emrick.
CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Literally have some goosebumps because it's Doc.
It's Doc.
It's Doc. Mike Doc Emrick announced this morning he's going to retire after a 50-year career calling hockey. Basically, the only voice we have known in the United States when it comes to hockey. One of the true voices, anyway. We've had some others, but clearly a hockey Hall of Famer and
first announcer inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, actually. That's how big of a deal he is. And honestly, I mean, I'm not shocked because he has been around for so long. And I think that a lot of people are doing a lot of reevaluating, especially after this year.
Sure.
I'm devastated.
Yeah, like, this is a tough one.
Who else? I honestly don't know. And it's the biggest shoes, and you're never really going to be able to fill them. But like you said, he's really the only guy that everybody associates with the NHL in those moments, and double overtime, cup finals, or, you know, losses, the Olympics, everything. He's always been there. And it's not that he was good at his job. It's that he was so uniquely him and good at his job. That's what made him great. And that's really, I think, representative of hockey itself. Like, it's so weird, it's so unique that it can't help but stand out. And so this is a huge loss for the hockey community, and I wish nothing but the best for him in retirement. He has earned it, but please come back. Please don't leave.
Well, you know, the nice thing is about Emrick, and because, you know, of the stories that have been told about Doc, you know, consistently, and then will continue to be told, you know, hopefully he goes the way of Vince Scully, finds himself on and just starts telling stories online just to keep it fresh out there, because it is true that, you know, when it comes to Emrick, who has called, you know, thousands of games, not even just hundreds of games, just thousands of games.
3,700 over.
A soundtrack of a voice for professional hockey, you know, who has been here but has millions and millions of memories and certainly millions and millions of fans when it comes to, you know, the sport.
Yeah,
the cadence, the
verbiage, the words that he chose.
It shocked me this morning. I mean, you say it's not surprising, but it really did shock me this morning. I was like, wow.
Right.
I was like, because you think that
they're going to be around for forever.
Well, yeah, and true. And, you know, it's like, listen, 2020 has been the year where we can't have good things.
Correct.
You know, I'm like, you don't have to take more stuff from us. And while I'm totally cool with this, I mean, I'm cool with it. It did surprise me this morning. Absolutely did. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, and he's ready and, you know, he spent time with his wife, Sandy. But I'm just like, you know, I don't know. They might as well just do the first game that he was scheduled to do next season. Just do it in silence.
Yeah.
Literally,
I mean, why even try? Like, he's done 22 Stanley Cup finals. He did 6 Olympics, you know, like I said, over 3,700 games. And like, and the puck is waffle boarded away. Like, I can't even do it justice. And that's the thing about social media, too, is that everybody's kind of tweeting out, thank you, Doc. And everybody's asking, what was your favorite, you know, verb that he used? What is your favorite? Because he was just, he had, that's when you know that you've made it in your profession, especially in a profession like ours that is, you know, talking, that is communication. When people can nitpick and think of their particular favorite things that you do, and it's not just your one gimmick thing, like it's an all-out presence, like there is no one else, and I don't know who they're going to replace him with. I can't even imagine who that person would be and what it's going to feel like them calling their first game and every game after that. But honestly, he's going to be a tough act to follow, but he'll teach too. He's been an ally in that community for so many people and has always taken time away, not just when he's at the rink, but you know, people are sending pictures of them meeting him at an airport and him letting them know where their connecting flight is going to be when they land in Detroit. Like, who does this? Let alone the guy that he is and the impact that he's had on our business and the game itself is unmatched.
Yeah. Just,
I'm just not happy. Well, I mean, happy for him, but like right. Not happy for us.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, thank you, Doc. Doc Emmerich retiring.
Thank you.
Broadcasting. Hockey world will be much different as if it hasn't been already. It'll be much different moving forward. Coming up next, a little football news and some breaking news when it comes to the Mountain West Conference and one of its coaches. Coming up next.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two with Lindsey Brown.
Number two.
And Paul Eihander. 45 minutes away from pregame of the Dallas Cowboys Arizona Cardinals Monday night game, the traditional Monday night game.
The traditional.
Right. The game that started before this one, yes, we have a doubleheader on Monday, is the Chiefs in Buffalo, and you haven't missed much, to be honest. They're getting close to the end of the third quarter. It's 13-10 Chiefs.
Yeah, a lot of slop that we all expected from Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen under their respective centers.
Yeah, it's the weather has played a little bit of a role there. It's a little bit colder than everyone's had to deal with.
Yeah, it's snowing in Minnesota, believe it or not. Yeah, it's like 30-something degrees there. It's turned over, and we are here wearing flip-flops.
Yes, it is 90.
It's not so bad.
I am in shorts.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah, it is a nice day. So, breaking news coming to you here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, brought to you by Indeed. Find the high-impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high-impact. Nevada football coach Jay Norvell has left his team. He has gone home to Michigan following the death of his father, Merritt Norvell. He is expected to come back to Reno for the Wolfpack's first game of the season against Wyoming. It's rough news. Most teams had a scheduled day off today in terms of practice, but he'll be back, I guess, in time for the opener against Saturday.
And this is, I mean, thoughts and all of the best, you know, vibes to him and his family, but this is the second year in a row in which it's been basically the eve, or at least leading up to the first game, and he's lost one of his parents. And so, close personal friend of the program. We've had him on a couple of times, so I hope that he's doing okay back home in Michigan, but you know, sometimes you want to get right back to and right back into your job. Sometimes that can help. Sometimes it doesn't. Just everybody's got to do their own thing at their own pace, right?
Yep. 2 years in a row for Norvell. Of course, his family going through tough times here. Mm-hmm. His dad actually, was one of the people that recommended him for the job at Nevada. Mm-hmm. So Nevada football coach Jay Norvell leaving the team today due to the death of his father. He is expected to return back in time for the first game of the season. Again, the Mountain West opening up this weekend. Nevada is playing, UNR are playing Wyoming on Saturday. So
right on.
Yeah, best to his family. Moving forward. All right, it's time for a little football at four here.
Yeah, the footy is the football.
As we give you a little bit of update on what happened, a little wrap up on week six. This just coming into us that 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan says Raheem Mostert, the running back. You almost thought I was going to say
The Lort. Please don't take the Lort away.
Starting running back Raheem Mostert has a high ankle sprain. He will go on reserve.
Does no one have ankles there? Or apparently everybody has a sensitive ankle over there.
Lower body extremity.
That's not good news.
No, they can't lose any more people there.
They looked just fine, though. Rams, like you said, paper tiger last week. Who have they beaten? Just the NFC East, yep. And that's about it.
Correct.
That's just, literally about it.
Just the NFC East.
That's not exactly something to hang your hat on today, kids.
The stats were not spectacular at all for the Rams. It was a rough go for Goff, who threw for under 200 yards.
And a a more toothless 49ers defense.
Yeah, they had no momentum. So 49ers playing a little bit of catch up right now. Not too bad considering Arizona's got Dallas tonight. We don't really know what kind of game that's going to be, but it's good
news. Who knows who's going to show up for the Cardinals, let alone the Cowboys? Like, we've already talked about Andy Dalton's, kind of first starting game, but like, Cardinals are little bit of an enigma this year.
Yeah, and they just lost their leading pass rusher Chandler Jones as well for the season, so he's done. So they're going to have to lean on the offense just a little bit more. I mean, the defense is not terrible, but when you lose a pass rusher, it means you've got to get playmaking from other places.
And I'll start limiting those turnovers on the offensive side of the ball. I'm sure things will go a little bit easier.
Kyler Murray likes to force the issue, and he forces the issue as well as Mahomes does. He just doesn't do it with as much control as Mahomes does.
Well, not everybody can be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Some people are just human, I guess.
Yeah, except for tonight where Both teams are kind of struggling.
Like, not a good game for Patrick Mahomes to be running out there and trying to, get extra yardage with his legs, considering how slippery he is out there and everything. I'm like, nope. Wasn't it around this time last year that he dislocated his kneecap and then came back and still won the Super Bowl?
Right. Yes.
He only missed like 2 or 3 weeks with that, I think.
You're right.
Vikings still lost to them. We talked about it. It's fine.
They did get Chiefs just put on a touchdown, so it's 20-10 Chiefs now leading the Bills. But the Bills are struggling.
Well, granted, they had last week their game was moved a couple times because of the Titans.
They did.
The Titans are the ones that have been disrupting the entire NFL schedule, but yet they're 2-0 since they've come back from the Rona. But the other teams that have played against them haven't fared super well, and you've had a couple of weird weeks, two weird weeks in a row where you're not playing like a normal Sunday schedule, and maybe the Bills aren't exactly who we thought they were. Maybe they're still taking some steps.
Right. I mean, they're in first place, but maybe just not beating the teams they need to beat.
At least the Patriots suck.
Yeah, the Patriots.
You put all your wealth on them yesterday, and that's where you went wrong, Paul.
Didn't, but just based on how it should have gone yesterday against Denver with a returning Drew Lock, who had been sitting forever, and that defense, I mean, Denver's defense, I mean, half the guys are hurt.
But when was the last time the Patriots probably had two practices in a row, let alone a Cam Newton-led practice? And
right.
That's why I don't get why, he comes back. I forget when it was announced that he was basically good to go. But if you're anywhere past Tuesday, unless it's like the bestest of course, if it's Aaron Rodgers, fine. And he didn't look so great yesterday either, to be honest.
No, he struggled.
But if it's like Thursday, Friday, just go with what the plan was. Like, it's so much more disruptive to try to go back and try to, just have him be the starting quarterback when you've already planned and didn't have consistent practice time to begin with.
They're not freaking out in New England by any means, but I mean, and it's Drew Lock at a god awful game. I mean, it was not good. Threw a couple of picks, but the Patriots weren't any better. Cam did the same thing, threw a couple of picks. I mean, he still did his damage on the ground, but it wasn't enough. I mean, it was just a low scoring, just kind of sloppy affair, and it shouldn't have been, to be honest. But
yeah, it's not like the Broncos are wheeling and dealing with their top guys on the defensive side of the ball.
No, they are not world beaters for sure. You know who's not a world beater?
Who?
Cleveland.
Yeah, again, more enigma. Like, Baker did not look good yesterday.
They didn't
granted,
show up.
He's got some bad ribs and he got hit a couple of times. But
yes,
like,
he was wincing a lot.
I just thought they would be able to get more than 7 points. I mean, the Steelers D is good. Real good.
Well, they were better than advertised for sure.
But come on.
Pick.
Yeah.
Pick. And then they were playing from behind the entire game.
I mean,
it was 24-7 at half. Cleveland had nothing to do but throw the ball because you're not going to run yourself back into the game when you're not running Nick Chubb out there.
That's true. Exactly.
You're running Kareem Hunt.
You needed Baker to have one of those performances where he took a step and kind of took things over. And that's not something they've asked him to do for most of the season, because most of the time when they do ask him to do that, it doesn't go well. Same thing. Same song and dance last night.
Right.
So
Steelers did what they needed to do, and now they're 5-0, one of the few undefeateds left. It's pretty impressive there. Tennessee, we mentioned, getting a win over Houston.
My goodness.
That was a shootout.
Yeah.
It was a shootout. And also Tennessee staying undefeated at 5-0.
Right. Did you see?
I mean, they hung on, obviously.
Did you see that like 90-something yard run yesterday with like 3 minutes left?
Yes.
How do you stop him? Like, honestly, because he just, once you get through the first layer, you can't bring him down.
It's a train.
You can't.
Derrick Henry gets faster and faster and faster. He just gets his head of steam.
Exactly.
And there's nothing left. You really have to pray that gravity takes over because he's going that fast.
Yeah, like the only guy that you could really say, well, we could probably take him down one-on-one if you're staying with him. It's like a linebacker. Like, you can't expect the safeties and the cornerbacks to be able to drag a guy that size down. There's just no way. And for it to happen that deep in their own territory, too, it's just unbelievable. I mean, Vrabel's like coach of the year candidate for me right now. Granted, I don't know if you can win it if you have the Rona take over your locker room. Maybe there needs to be a different stipend there. But they nothing has fazed them.
Right.
And they're not the most talented team.
No, they're not. But Tannehill stopped being a game manager yesterday. It started just becoming a gunslinger. And
really?
He started throwing the ball to everybody. I mean, he was flinging it around like nobody's business. The numbers speak for themselves.
Well, he has a perfect situation if you think about it.
Sure.
He has the contract signed now. He has arguably the most dominant, running game in the league right now.
Absolutely.
Nothing super expected from you other than being a game manager. And especially yesterday's game, although it was a lot closer than a lot of us probably predicted.
Right. He had to put up some points yesterday against Houston because Deshaun Watson had such a good game.
And maybe that's exactly what Tannehill needed. He needed all that stuff to go right for him to take that step or to have the confidence and the weapons around him to be able to get or to stay in a game like that. Because honestly, 2 years ago, would you say if Deshaun Watson and Ryan Tannehill play in a game, who's probably going to win? Do you have confidence and ability to keep up through the air? No.
Your problem is that the defenses are both awful. I mean, you had to put up 42 against Houston.
Right.
And Houston should, by all means.
Well, that's why Vrabel's playing mind games with the clock and stuff like that by purposefully taking penalties to run down some time. Like, that's some next level Bill Belichickian, coaching tree type of stuff.
Gotta close these loopholes when it comes to penalties.
Come on.
Man, I don't want to see delays of game and that kind of garbage.
See, in the game, I'm okay with it because football moves so quick. Like, it's for somebody to be able to have that in their back pocket and then execute on it, I'm like, kudos, sir. Kudos.
I still think you
got
to close that loophole.
But if you're, like, taping practices, with a video camera, I don't like that. No me gusta. I don't want that one. But there's something to... That's one of the inside tracks that if you have a coach or somebody high up in your organization that used to be a player, and especially if it comes from a favorable coaching tree, but if he has that insight in the game... You can't say that didn't make a difference in that victory last night.
Sure, no, it absolutely did.
Not saying it all boiled down to that play.
He was actually... a head coach in those moments. And I believe that's where I will contradict myself. While I don't like it, he is actually coaching and managing the game at the same time. It's not just about his players.
Right.
He's actually doing something. So
you have to tie the loophole as well, Paul. It doesn't just show up.
Right. I'm just not crazy. I mean, there's clever ways to get around things. And then there's kind of ways to game the system. And in some cases it feels like you're gaming the system. And I know it's all within the rules, but
I'm okay with it with the Titans just because they play the game the right way.
Sure, I suppose.
There you go.
Let's talk about the fact that Aaron Rodgers...
Let's finally not send him up the river without a paddle quite yet.
No, but man, just got the job done in the first quarter of that game. And then
the praise and the greatness were raining down upon the broadcast. Paul, it was unbelievable the amount of kudos that were given to him.
What happened in that game where Tom Brady is able to take over and goes, yeah, click, wake up, here's the smelling salts. And Bruce Arians goes, you know what, I'm going to bench you in favor of, I don't know, I'm guessing maybe that's what happened.
It's called throwing, interceptions on two passes in a row. And your first one was a pick six and your first one in the entire season. And what number was that?
Yeah, I know. And it's not like there were... magical.
But they're mistakes.
Right, exactly.
And Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys, one of those talents that is like so good that he expects perfection out of himself. And we do as well because he has shown the ability to play as close to that line as possible. But when that happens and you go off a cliff because he was running, like I said, the broadcast could not like write his introductory speech to the Hall of Fame better than what was going on in that broadcast leading up to those first two interceptions. But once it starts going bad and everybody's, kumbaya, Aaron, you're just so chill with all of these things, like us drafting a quarterback in the first round instead of getting you more weapons, but everything's all fine and dandy because they're winning. But once it starts to topple and you have that little piece of doubt, that's how quick it takes. And it's not necessarily Aaron's fault, but that team that buys into his aura, his confidence, the fact that he is the baby Aaron Rodgers, that everybody's like, oh my God, he's the greatest quarterback prospect we've ever seen. If only his team could just put some weapons around him, he'd have more than one ring. Well, he looked pretty human yesterday, didn't he?
Incredibly human. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did not look like the dead team that we thought they were going to be to roll over and scratch their belly.
Particularly alive, though, either.
No, they didn't. But they came up against a team that, you know, seriously underperformed. And, yeah. You know,
they got punched in the mouth and they didn't have anything left to fight back with, because it's not like Tom was out there slinging it. He looks older. They're saying he's standing differently in his stance, Paul. That's how they're trying to break down his performance right now. That's how weird it kind of looks to some people, or at least the way that he's been able to play so far.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater yesterday.
No.
Threw two picks and had a really sloppy game against a Chicago Bears defense that was pretty relentless. And
why won't Chicago listen to the rest of America and just play bad?
Nick Foles managed a game. He managed a game and managed to get the Bears a fifth win. And the Bears are in first place.
Nick Foles deserves Chicago, and Chicago deserves Nick Foles, in a way.
It befuddles me. And this was the trap game.
I love that word, befuddles.
This was the trap game.
Yeah.
And they just, Chicago made it so hard for Carolina to get on track. I mean, they were in Bridgewater's face all afternoon.
Yeah, and if you're never feeling comfortable, how could you expect to make big plays and big throws without having some luck involved?
They sacked him four times.
That's a lot of times, Paul. That's like four more times than there should be. And it's not like Teddy Bridgewater has like an arm that's made of gold and with like laser point accuracy. That's not him.
And he doesn't have the weapons either to work with.
If you can go like 7 to 14 yards, we're going to be super gooch. Yeah. But other than that, it's going to be really tough. But I mean, I don't think anybody expects, you know, Carolina to all of a sudden be the power.
No.
This year. I mean, again, I'm still very high on what's going on in that organization and what Teddy Bridgewater has been able to piece together with under a Matt Rule offense. But Chicago is just so boring, Paul. I don't want to watch them. I don't want them to be in first place because they're Chicago.
Right.
They're just the worst.
Okay. I mean,
not as bad as Packers.
So I'm going to put a crystal ball out in front of all of us right now,
okay,
and pray that when I look into this crystal ball, and I'm going to look 5 years down the road, because I think it's going to take that long, to be honest. And I hate saying that for this guy, but it's going to take 5 years for the Bengals to get the right amount of people around Joe Burrow to actually give him a chance to win football games. Because yesterday in that game in Indianapolis, it looked like they were going to run away from Indy.
Yeah.
It was 21 to nothing.
Exactly.
I'm in line at Costco going, I refreshed. I thought the app was wrong, and I went, wow, Cincinnati's up 21-0 on Indianapolis.
And Indianapolis, another one of those teams that everybody's just kind of waiting to see fail because we can't believe that they're as good as their record indicates, right?
Yeah, correct. Because it's Phil Rivers.
Yeah.
Who continues?
All he needed was an offensive line.
Who
continues
to put up numbers. I mean, Rivers puts up numbers, but the Bengals blew a 21-point lead. They torched it. They stomped on it, they threw more gas on it, and then they dumped a bunch of more water on it and then put dirt on it. They could have run the clock out.
What happened in the second quarter? What happened? Like, did the Colts eat up the clock? Did the Bengals have a couple of three and outs and then the Colts were able to get good field position and just, you know, execute really well? Because they had three touchdowns in one quarter.
Colts put together long drives.
There you go.
They put together successful long drives, and the Bengals had nowhere to go. Like, nowhere to go.
Yeah. I mean, but still, long drives. Like, their longest drive for the Colts in that second quarter was for a touchdown was 3:26. The longest one that the Bengals had, at least in the first quarter, was almost 6 minutes. That's a different type of, there's bleeding the clock and running the clock down, and then there's what this is. Like, there's efficient bleeding of the clock,
Bengals
and that's
defense,
probably why they got three touchdowns.
Bengals defense is awful. It's just a bad defense.
Yeah.
And Burrow staked them 21 points and said, all right, protect 21 points. All you need, 21 points. Seriously, The Miami Dolphins won yesterday 24-0.
You might be right. I think 5 years is a little much, but
I don't think they can get enough pieces in place.
Unless you start selling off pieces like we've seen what the Dolphins did last year, what Jacksonville did the year before. It's just that the Bengals are, you know, a step ahead and a year behind in a way because they have their quarterback now. That's why they would trade away all the pieces to tank for their quarterback.
I hope he survives.
Same.
The next couple of years.
Same.
There.
I hope for him the offensive line that Philip Rivers gets to play in behind this year, because either that or he had a really intense talk with Mother Willow.
Right.
You know, honestly.
Undeniable. What's wrong with your Vikings?
Of all the picks.
What's wrong with your Vikings?
Kirk Cousins wrong with our Vikings, Paul.
I mean, he says if he throws any more picks, he won't be the starter at the end of the year.
He should have been benched.
Who did they bench him for there? Who's behind him?
That's the only reason why he hasn't been benched, Paul, because we are not smart enough to say, you know what, we're going to get a serviceable backup. Like, we'll do Trevor Siemian. You know what? We'll let him walk. I don't even know who the backup quarterback is for the Minnesota Vikings because it doesn't matter. Because this is a guy that you could have let play out this year on the contract that he signed, which was the first fully guaranteed deal ever signed in the NFL. And you could have let this year play out, see what happens. Usually, you know, have players play out a contract year. Sometimes it works in your favor because they play a little bit better. Kirk Cousins is literally having the worst season of his career.
Yeah, it's awful.
He said yesterday the first pick that he threw, which was on the first pass of the game, Paul, the first pass of the game, which I think has happened more than once this season. It's like, yeah, that's not a mistake that I would even make in my rookie season. Well, why are we making it in 2020? Like, what is happening? And the defense, like we said, they're young, and that's not their fault. It's the Vikings' fault for letting their entire secondary walk, re-upping Kirk Cousins before he needed to, and the coaching staff and the general manager before we got anywhere. This team has done nothing but take steps back since they got absolutely blown out in Philadelphia in that NFC Championship game. You know who the quarterback was then? Case Keenum. Case freaking Keenum.
You guys love
and he was playing yesterday for Kevin Stefanski, who used to be our offensive coordinator. I wonder if there's something to do with that as well. As I said last Friday when I made this prediction, which was them losing at home to a now one-win Falcons team, because they were winless at that time. They are awful. So just throw in the jerseys. It's not worth it until Danielle Hunter gets back out there anyways. And let's just chalk it up to a year that none of us want to remember. At least in the purple drank land.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue is there, and he's probably like, damn it, I left Jacksonville
for
this.
He was so pumped to get out of there, and I was like, what the hell is this? This is supposed to be the best offensive or defensive line in the NFL, and it is.
So Ngakoue, who goes from Jacksonville to Minnesota, two real hardcore dumpster fires at this point. Are we done with Gardner Minshew being the savior in Jacksonville? Detroit is now ahead of Minnesota, by the way, because they beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's how bad we are.
34-26.
Unforeseen.
I mean, Minshew.
Well, what was the stat line yesterday?
25-44, 243.
How many?
A pick and a touchdown. That was it.
So
and
it
he's
up.
Got he's got no weapons either down
and that's
here.
That's the thing. I don't know why we expect anything from Jacksonville. I mean, you would maybe think a little bit more of a competitive game with Detroit, but Detroit has two wins this year. Well, now they have two. They had one yesterday, but still. I still want to see what Gardner has with more weapons in front of him. I want to give him a couple of years because it's not like they're going anywhere fast. Yeah, like you said, Joe Burrow is going to take 5 years. God knows that Jacksonville
just keeps bringing the team up and tearing it right back down.
At least Joe Burrow has, you know, a few friends on speed dial that he could probably recruit in a few years as free agents. Like, who's Gardner going to call?
Yeah, not nobody.
No, and you have to, we play in Jacksonville too. Like, I'd kind of rather play in Cincinnati.
Well, there's some tax breaks there.
That Limp Bizkit is from there. You're
that
right.
You could deal with.
You're right.
There's a place called Tijuana Flats that does really good Mexican food. So
I'll take your word for that.
You've got that. Oh, it's delicious.
Okay.
It is fantastic.
Excellent.
Also making some news today. The Jets, you know what? They're fighting in their locker room at this point. Which is unfortunate.
They didn't score any points yesterday.
They did not score any points.
Like again, zero points.
The only team that has not covered like any sort of lines set by any books in the only team that hasn't done so in the first 6 weeks of the season. Like, there's nothing there. And Adam Gase and Greg Williams, who's his defensive coordinator,
both
at odds with each other. I'm like, what do you do at this point? I mean, what do you do up there?
That's not out of Greg Williams' character sending pot shots across the bow to his own team. Sure, like, that guy was the defensive coordinator for the Saints when they basically ended Brett Favre's career. Like, douche can do. 100%. Fire him. Fire all of them.
Bell's gone. You trade Adams. I mean, Darnold, it's... There's not. They just traded their starting nose tackle to the Tampa Bay.
Do you think Trevor Lawrence declares for the Major League Baseball draft if this continues?
There's a thought right now that if the Jets get that close to the draft, that Lawrence does what Eli Manning does and says,
make some calls.
That says, I do not want to play there. You trade this pick. If you pick me, I will not play. I'll sit. I will not
That's
play.
That's a hell of a gamble, and that is a much different type of conversation in the year 2020 than it was when Eli did it with Dad.
Sure, but Lawrence would...
He's not a Manning either, is he?
No, he's not. No, go make your money in the CFL, right?
But that's what I mean, and what is that... If that even so much as 10% of that leaks out of his mouth... of any truth to that, saying I'm going to sit out for a year. How do you think the public perception is going to be?
You know what you do? Here's what you do. Gase gone. Okay? End of the season, Gase gone. If you're in that position for Trevor Lawrence, if I'm the Jets owners,
call coach at Georgia?
No. No, you call a Clemson coach.
Oh, I meant that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I meant Clemson.
Yeah, you call Dabo and you say, yeah. Hey, I'm picking Trevor. You want to come here and run this team? Carte blanche.
I wouldn't want to if I'm Dabo.
Carte blanche.
He's got a job for the rest of his life there.
Sure he does.
So why would he go to New York where nobody gives a damn about him and they'll fire him the second they suck? Why would he leave?
Just take the money. Take the money. Just go get the money.
If we not learned anything in the year 2020, is that life's more about the biggest paycheck, right?
Dabo's 50. He's got his national champ. He's got his ships already.
That's a different thing.
Highest paid
though.
Coach in college athletics.
Has he ever coached in the NFL? Has he ever spent time in the NFL?
He's got an MBA.
Okay. Congrats. He can. Congrats on your student loans.
He could fall back.
If you ever need help paying off, do not call me. Because I got to pay mine off first.
Hey, listen, I don't. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, you make the phone call. You 100% make the phone call. But if it was anybody but the Jets, sure. I'm like, Dob would be like, yeah, maybe. But like, just how we've seen things work out, like it's turning into Cleveland East, which we already kind of knew it was. Ugh. Maybe Rex Ryan needs to revisit.
Rex Ryan.
But it would be so interesting if he did sit out or at least threaten, and how that would be covered and perceived and just played out in our current context with social media, with COVID, with everything. Because you can't say that people are, you're going to pass up an opportunity in the NFL to sit out a year because you don't want to play for the Jets. Like, a lot of bridges burned to begin with. Those are a lot of shoes that you'll never be able to sell to a lot of people. And you're not even in the league yet.
Yeah, but don't we talk about how athletes can empower themselves and make decisions and speak out against things?
Sure.
This is, he's such a unique player. A unique player that dials in
and executes
and is a study of the game.
How is he more of a unique player than any other quarterback that's won a national championship and potentially won a Heisman in the last few? I'm like, that happens every year, though.
Yeah, but success at the next level.
Exactly. I don't think it's a given that Trevor is going to be a success, just like anybody is not a given. Like, Joe Burrow's success isn't a given because it's not because he's not talented, because it just depends on where you're drafted and the talent around you. What if he gets hurt? What if something happens? What if something weird gets into his psyche and all of a sudden the competitive edge isn't there? What if he pulls a Charles Barkley, can't swing a golf club anymore, except it's with a football motion? Like, you don't know. But that's why you avoid the Jets. But I just don't know if we're that forgiving of an audience anymore, and if really this is the way to do things in general. I don't know. Maybe we should start thinking about how the NFL does business and stuff like that, and bringing players in, because I do agree with you. I think there should be more agency, because I don't know any other job where somebody else tells you where you're going to work for your first thing.
You're the
right?
best player, but you have to go to the worst team.
Right.
Why?
I know.
Why?
I agree with you.
I get the whole idea. I mean, I get it, but it's based. I mean, maybe the NFL should lottery. The NFL should
lottery.
That's
what I'm saying. Because
at least change something about it.
And it makes more sense with the just the size of teams, if you think about it, for the precise reason we've been talking about Joe Burrow. Like, do you really want him wasting the peak of his youth trying to muddle through the waters with some crappy roster? And that's... you better hope you have a GM that knows what he's doing. You better hope you have a coach that believes in you and knows what he's doing and knows how to develop you. And we all know that that's not a world that we live in, because Adam Gase still has a job. So there's a lot that could go wrong. And that's why the success stories are so amazing, because there are so many different ways to go wrong. And there's only a few select things that have to go right at the exact right time. So I think they should have, they should spread the talent around a little bit more. There are some teams that are like a lot more middling that probably deserve him more, but that's why we should explore this option. Why not? Everybody else is exploring newness and different ways to do things, because that's what reevaluation 2020 is. Figure it out. You're not doing things the most efficient way you probably could.
There's your football at four here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Coming up next, how can you tell when dynasties are coming to an end?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
10 minutes away from pregame Monday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals and Dallas Cowboys. You can listen to that entire game here on 1140, kickoff at 5:15. We have gone to the latter half of the fourth quarter, where the Chiefs lead the Bills 23-17 in, amazingly enough, game one of the NFL's Monday doubleheader.
Yes. Weird times we live in.
I'm struggling with it just a little bit. I'm like, yeah, we should just have Monday Night Football. Well, there's a game on right now.
Yep. And time is like, a social construct, Paul. We did learn that.
Yeah, we learned a lot of things over this weekend, that the post-Tom Brady era Patriots, of which they have won 6 Super Bowls with one Mr. Tom Brady, are struggling to make it back to the playoffs, let alone give themselves a chance for a 7th Super Bowl tie, or a try, I should say.
Don't tie, please.
Is this the end of the Patriots as the dynasty? I mean, officially.
I know yesterday's loss was bad.
I'm just saying, officially, I know that Brady moved on, and you could say that, but Bill Belichick is still there.
Yep.
It's still a Belichick-run team with a Josh McDaniels at offensive, you know, coordinator, and they've always been the team that's been able to take the cast off from here and the spare part from here and put it all together.
Cross player from over there.
Correct. And they've turned it into gold, essentially. But there was always glue beyond Belichick and McDaniels. It was always Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Did we just end the dynasty now? Do we call it good?
I wouldn't end it. I think it already ended to begin with.
What, in that Tennessee game last year?
Well, I think we've moved on from like the expectations that the old Patriots had, because you just straight, like you said, Tom Brady isn't there anymore. And I'm not going to put yesterday's loss on Cam Newton either, because first of all, I don't think he probably should have played if he just came back to the team later in the week. But Patriots are one of those teams that have been discombobulated by COVID the last couple weeks and the schedule changes and Broncos. It's a real, real bad loss. That was an automatic dub. Like, that needs to be. And I'm not saying that the Pats are going to miss the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're going to make it either. But in terms of the ending of the dynasty, that has already happened. That has already happened.
Okay, so we've already seen the signs. The cones have been out already. The cones have been out already, and we've taken the exit ramp for the dynasty for the Patriots.
Yes.
We've seen, in terms of the NBA, many dynasties come and go. Mm-hmm. I've witnessed it firsthand in San Antonio, being in the middle of that dynasty. It was incredibly special. And then really, the dynasties that have existed since then have been all led by LeBron James.
Yeah, super teams, at least facing off against LeBron James.
Right, so they're not dynasties then. You're just talking about, these would just be super teams.
No, well, it depends.
Because it feels like the sign is...
What is the definition of a dynasty to you?
Multiple championships.
And does it have to be within a certain amount of time?
No, not necessarily, because I think you could win based on just kind of how the world works now. You know, the Golden State Warriors, for example.
Sure.
I mean, did not exist this past season. I mean,
no.
In the sense of any sense of the form of the Golden State Warriors, they did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think their window is closed.
No.
I think their dynasty is still open.
Yeah, and I think that's why I closed the dynasty conversation on the Patriots and why it's still open for me as well with the Warriors, because you still have the same characters there. Now, Kevin Durant isn't there, but he wasn't there for the first championship either. And
right.
So I agree with you. I think that there it's about who was there, and sometimes it's not just one player, it's a grouping of players. So much like how your San Antonio team, it was always Parker and Ginobili and Duncan. And with the Warriors, it was always Green and Curry and Clay. And so LeBron and whoever he can, you know, convince to hang out with him for a year, it's usually J.R. Smith and then, you know, one other superstar. No shirts need to be brought.
Back in the day, it used to be about coaches that led the dynasty. I mean, mm-hmm. when you talk about John Wooden at UCLA, you talk about Vince Lombardi in Green Bay, you talk about Boy,
can you even say Phil Jackson? Because you can't say in basketball, it's almost weirder because you have some mammoth coaches, but Phil Jackson coached Michael and he coached Kobe and Shaq. And then you have like Pat Riley who coached Magic and then he went to New York and now he's at the, you know, it's such a different thing. And that's why each dynasty is its own kind of beast within a larger beast of the sport. But yeah, it's the coaches really have taken a step back overall, but that's kind of the way it's supposed to be, right? Because they're the coaches.
Sure, they're the coaches, but you know, usually you're talking about systems like Bill Walsh's West Coast offense with the San Francisco 49ers. That was always, you know, it's like they would win with the sum of the parts, and it also helped that you had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
Right. I don't think the brains have changed that much. I mean, like, in terms of taking it next level of coaching, but I know certainly that's something that is night and day difference between now and 30, 40 years ago is the number of unbelievable athletes. Like, the infusion of talent. You don't need the same amount of, like, football, you're like, yeah, with the West Coast offense, I get it. Because some of those guys didn't really play. Like, we found this big guy off the street. He lifts boxes for a living. Come here, friend. Like, that's how they ran things. But now it's a full-blown industry at every single level. So the coaches kind of take a step back because...
Listen to CBS Sports Radio 1140 anywhere you go with the free radio.com app. Download it today.
I would have said that.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. In Seattle, again, the guys, we just talked about Dabo Swinney, too, at Clemson. You know, you talk about Nick Saban in Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Those different types of dynasties, the coaches aren't as big as they used to be. It is about the players.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to hockey. Last time a dynasty was in hockey, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, the Pens won back-to-back championships like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. You had the Blackhawks winning 3 out of the last 10. You had the Kings win a couple of them. But the thing is, it's not...
But repeat performances that they're always going to be in the playoffs. That you knew
every but the thing is that they are, most of the time, they are in the playoffs. I mean, how many championships did the Kings not win because the Blackhawks got in the way? And how many championships could the Blackhawks have won if the Kings aren't in the way? There's always a 1 and a 2. There's always kind of a dance partner. Sometimes there's more, but if you're like one of those exceptional teams, you know, there always has to be somebody that is at least right at the same level with you, because you've had, you know, teams where, like you said, the New England Patriots, how many, they have 6 rings with Tom Brady. How many do they leave out there though? At least three. Cause there's two to Eli and there's 1 to Nick Foles, right?
They did leave some on the table.
Right.
Yes.
And so technically are those years part of the dynasty or are they lost you? Or, and that's where it is, because there's, as I said earlier, there's so much that has to go right just for you to even get a chance to play for a championship, let alone, you know, win one. And that's what makes them special. And it's the teams and the organizations, whether they're led by good coaches or not, that have the mental toughness and the malleability to not just rest on the success from last year, what worked last year, to always be trying to make themselves better in some way, or at least transforming themselves so they're not, you know, you're 2 steps ahead. And sometimes that comes from coaching, because your coach is that much better. Sometimes that means you have 2 or 3 more superstars than the other squads do. And it's just a different way to make the same dish. But in terms of dynasties going forward, it's tough to have. I think it's probably the toughest to have in the NFL, because like you said, make the playoffs again next year. Well, that's not always a given.
Right. It's where the Chiefs have done well, and all of a sudden you see the Tennessee Titans, you know, that could be the next set coming along at the same time, where you're going to see these two teams go head-to-head-to-head in a consistent basis until somebody else rises to the top.
Yeah.
And in places where you thought it was going to happen, like for, you know, Dallas, who were supposed to, the Cowboys, who were supposed
nobody
to, like,
wants that.
Take that big next step, you know, by you know, jetting their head coach and keeping Dak Prescott. Well, their new coach isn't doing so hot, and Prescott's out for the year.
I think we've been spoiled the last 20 years or so, too, and this kind of starts when the Patriots started winning their strings of championships in the early aughts, because I feel like we're at a breaking point where the athletes have been getting so much better, and now we're just starting to figure out we can't cut, you know, tenths of a second down anymore. We can cut 100ths, though. And I think we're going to start seeing that with sports in general, because we kind of saw there's never going to be another LeBron. I'm sorry. There's never going to be someone who goes to the finals that many years in a row. And we've seen quite a few outliers across the world of sports. I mean, look at Serena Williams. the fact that she's won as many majors as she has, but like most of the time, 15 years ago, if you were above the age of 20 in women's tennis, guess what? You're retired. You're done. And so I think we're going to see fewer dynasties in the next 20 that we've seen in the last 20 because of that infusion of athlete. And now you're trying to figure out what's the next edge. Well, it's crazy playmakers, kind of like how Patrick Mahomes plays. You just got to find people, the next layer of outlier.
Interesting analytics as well. Mm-hmm. And the coaching and the schemes are different, but, you know, the games are still the same.
You got to find an edge somewhere.
Those games have not changed. That's the truth. Outside of some quirky rule changes, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, we do have Monday Night Football waiting in the wings for you tonight. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Enjoy that game that is on the way. All right, for Mark Binney, making things sound nice, she is Lindsey Brown. I am Paul Eihander. Monday Night Football tonight. World Series Game 1 tomorrow. That's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.